Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. You don't have any idea why we're so smart. Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal. A lot of what we end up doing is buying stuff because other people have done it.
He's Art Markman, and he's Bob Duke.
And you're Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is Two Guys on Your Head.
I didn't get to say anything.
Today, the psychology of popularity.
The fascinating thing is, if you think about the stuff you buy, you know, books, movies that you decide to see, things like that, what drives you to do that? And your first thought might be, it must be the inherent quality of the material.
And that thought would be wrong.
Yeah. We make assessments about the popularity of things and factor that into our choice. Now, that doesn't mean we always choose the thing that is the most popular item.
We're not lemmings, after all.
Right. But sometimes we are lemmings to small species of lemmings. Right. So we might say, I'm going to, particular genres of music. Say, I reject the stuff that's popular with everyone. So I'm only going to listen to the stuff that's popular with this other group of people that I identify with. So we pick subgroups. But still, it's rare that somebody says, you know what? I'm truly going to listen to something nobody else is listening to at all. So there really is an assessment of popularity that ends up working its way into the preferences that we form and the acquisition decisions that we make for things in our world.
Yeah, and as Art's describing it, we don't want to give the impression that this is all consciously contemplated because it's not most of the time, right? I mean, mm-hmm. We don't know why we're clicking on that one versus that one. And as Art was talking about a few minutes ago, you know, you look at a bunch of things on iTunes and you reorder the way they show up on the page, and people make different choices than if they're ordered in some other way. And this is not just true of things like, you know, music you listen to or books you read or that kind of thing. I mean, we give ourselves way too much credit for assessing things that are confronting us and making decisions based on some constant logical reasoning that's equally applied in all circumstances. And most of the time, that's just not happening at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we use lots of factors to assess that popularity. So some of it can be ranking lists, as you might see on a website or a bestseller list. But it might also be just the way the environment is structured. So for example, when you go to the grocery store, there are products lined up. And the more real estate that a particular product occupies on the shelf, the more likely you are to pick it up. Not just because there's a bunch of them, but because it gives the illusion that this must be really popular if they're stocking this much of it in
exactly.
The store. And it must be pretty good if that many people are buying it.
And we have to work in, and Art usually is the person who says this every time, we are a social species, so we count on the information we get from other conspecifics, and it's not only in the form of verbalizations or a tweet or a rating on Yelp, but because we just see people doing things, and we say, well, look at that, you know, yeah. And maybe I should go over there. I mean, you think about picking a restaurant, driving down the street, you see a restaurant, there's cars all around there, and if you have the time, you might think, well, that must be pretty good. I should check out that restaurant.
Yeah.
With no information whatsoever about the thing that we're making a choice about. Now, there are good reasons for that, because it's mostly efficient. I mean, why do I need to go and just suss out all of the details of everything I'm going to make a choice about if I've got all these other people who I presume have some reason for choosing, not thinking the fact that many of them are choosing for the same reason I am.
And one of the bits of that laziness is that that one of the ways we assess popularity is how frequently have we encountered something before.
Exactly.
Because if we encountered it either in the world a lot or because people are talking about it a lot, then we assume that this must be something pretty good because it's pretty frequent. And we don't keep a count of it. Instead, what happens is in memory, we lay down more memories related to this, and it becomes easier and easier for us to think about this item the more times that we've encountered it. And so we get what's called processing fluency. The more fluently you can think about something, the more popular your brain decides it is, the more you then like that thing, which makes it easier for you to engage in that thing.
One feature of this that's important to consider is what Art was just saying about fluency, right? I mean, if you think about it, why would it be the case that our brains would think that things that are more easily retrievable from memory are better, right?
Because they didn't kill us.
Well, partly, exactly, right? Because the thing is, if you encounter something a lot and you're still around and perhaps even thriving, well, then maybe that's a good thing to have around. And it just builds on itself, right? I mean, this is the way, we did a show on advertising a long time ago. This is the way advertising works. It's not because it tells you how good a product is. It's because it makes the name easily retrievable. So now you just, it's easy to call up Staples because every time I go see a Lakers game, is it the Staples there? Now, why would Staples, who has nothing to do with basketball, spend all that money to put its name on that arena? Because it makes that name appear more frequently in people's minds and makes it more retrievable, and there you go.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, and then we assess not just objects in our world, but we assess people in our world on the basis of their popularity as well. So, you know, why is it so great to be popular in a social group? Well, because of the same set of issues. Because now you assume somebody must think this person is really cool if they're popular, and so you may as well hang out with that crowd. It's going to be fun and a safe place to be and things like that. And so that also feeds on itself. And that's one of the really interesting things about popularity in both in products and in people, is that it becomes a self-perpetuating item. I mean, sure. We know of plenty of celebrities who are famous primarily for being famous.
Right.
They attract a crowd, and then that crowd just sticks around because it's just easier to go back to where you were before.
Yeah. And, I think one takeaway from this show is that notion that the frequency with which we've experienced things in the past influences and becomes a part of our assessments of quality. It does feel like, from inside our own consciousness, that we're basing our decisions on only the relevant features of the things that we're making decisions about. And that's part of the decision, but that's not all of it.
Next week, we'll talk about inclusion with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is our engineer. I'm Rebecca McEnroe. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.